Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. We recently had a discussion in our Bible Issues Facebook group where the question was asked, does God need us? We know that we need God, but does God need us? And the typical answers that people gave sounded like this. God doesn't need us because God is self-sufficient. God existed before man was ever created, therefore God does not need us. In fact, it is we who need Him. We are in a relationship with God where we are the dependents and God is the provider. We depend on Him for salvation, for providing our needs, supplying our daily bread. We depend on Him for protection, for mercy, for favor, for grace. We depend on God for just about everything. In Him we live and move and have our being. But God doesn't depend on us to live. So that was the most common answer that was given. And that answer is correct. That answer is true. Everything is true about it. God is self-sufficient. He existed long before He created man. He doesn't need us to live. However, that is not the full story. It is the truth, but it is not the whole truth. Asking the question, does God need us, is just like asking me, do I need my wife? In a sense, yes, but in a sense, no. In an absolute sense, do I need my wife to provide oxygen for me to breathe? The answer is no. Do I depend on my wife for the ability to metabolize food? The answer again is no. However, she does add a quality to my life. She adds joy, happiness, contentment, satisfaction to my life, such that without her, the quality of my life would be significantly lower than with her. So do I need her in an absolute sense? The answer is no. But I do need her to provide emotional support, emotional strength, joy, happiness to my life. Asking the question, does God need us, is like asking you, do you need your kids? Do you need your children? And again, if we're talking about providing your needs, no, you don't need them. You don't need them to supply your needs. You don't need them to give you money. In fact, they probably cost more money than they will ever give you in your life. You don't need them financially. You don't need them to live, to survive, to exist. However, they add a lot of joy to your life. Okay, I'm assuming that they add a lot of joy to your life, because I know a lot of you may be thinking, you may be scratching your heads right now and thinking, my kids make my life a living hell. All right, let's pretend they actually bring joy to your life, right? They provide emotional strength, they provide joy, they bring entertainment, they make your house fun to be around. So do you need them in an absolute sense? The answer is no. But you do need them in an emotional sense. And the same thing is true with our relationship with God. God does not need us to live. He does not need us to exist. He does not need us to even be worshipped. He had all the angels long before He created us. However, God, for some reason, for some crazy reason, God actually likes us. God actually wants us around. In fact, God loves us so much that the Bible said He sent His only begotten Son to die for us, that we might not perish but have everlasting life. There's something about God that He likes us and He loves us so much that He did not want us to perish, but He wanted us to have everlasting life and to spend eternity with Him. The Bible says, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. And he said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. There is something about God that he created us and he loved us such that he called us friends. I mean, if a human being did that, you would think he was crazy. If you made a man out of Lego or blocks, or you drew him on a piece of paper, and you now say, this is my best friend, you would think that person is crazy. That person should be committed. But that is what God did. God created man in his image and likeness, and then he called that man friend. He called Abraham his friend, and Jesus told his disciples, I call you friends. There is something about God. He doesn't need us, but he obviously wants us around. In fact, God looked around and he saw all the angels worshiping him. The angels around the throne of God, and they cry out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. And he looked at all these angels worshiping him unconditionally, no guile, no sin. And God said, something is missing here. Let me create man in my own image and likeness. So God doesn't need us to live. He lived and he existed long before us. But there's something in God that he actually likes us. The Bible says he delights in us. He rejoices over us. We are his joy. So there's something about us that God likes us. He wants us around. He desires that none should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of truth and to everlasting life. So does God absolutely need us? No. But I believe that we bring some kind of emotional joy to God. Why? I don't know. But God, for some reason, he likes us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's my question for you. What exactly was this joy that was set before him that motivated Jesus to endure the cross, to despise the shame, and to be exalted at the right hand of God? Was it the throne? The Bible says God exalted him and given him a name above every name. Was it the name that motivated him? According to the Bible, Jesus had a throne before he even came down to earth. He was already God. He was already exalted. Jesus didn't need to come to earth to die just so that he could be exalted back to his throne. The joy that was set before him was not a throne. The joy that was set before him was the fact that you and I could now be saved, and we could spend eternity with him instead of being forever lost. Let me read another similar verse from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those in earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. I was studying this scripture recently, and I thought about, why did Jesus need to die and to learn obedience and to suffer the cross and to humble himself to death in order to be exalted? He was already exalted. It clearly says he was equal with God, and he was in his throne in heaven long before all of this. But then he decided to come down to earth in human form and then die, and then God exalted him. Why did Jesus have to leave his throne in order to be exalted back to his throne? What was different? Was he exalted to a higher place? He was already God. What could possibly be higher than that? And as I thought about it, I realized there is one thing that was different. If Jesus had not left his throne, he would still be God. He would still be exalted above every other creation. He would still have a name that is above every other name. But the difference is, you and I would not be there with him. Now, he has a name that's above every name, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. The joy that brings delight to Jesus, it is not the fact that he is in a throne, but rather that he has us to rule over. He has us to worship him, to be there with him. That is what brings him joy. That was what his joy was when he decided, let me leave my nice comfortable throne and go down to earth to humble myself, to become a man, to be beaten, to be scourged, to be crucified on a cross, half naked, humiliated, in pain, bleeding and dying, just so that I could have all of these people spend eternity with me. That was what motivated him. That was his joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You and I are his joy. If you ask Jesus, what is his joy? You and I would be high up on that list, if not at the very top of that list. So I ask you a question. What is your joy? Is Jesus at the top of your list? Do you set your treasure on things in heaven or on things of the earth? If I ask you, what is your greatest joy? And you think about it honestly, will you say your greatest joy is some blessing that God gave you? Or is it the God who gave you the blessing? What is the thing that you treasure the most? Jesus said, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also. And he told us, set your affections on things which are above, where rust and moth does not corrupt. Where does God rank in your list of things that you consider to be a treasure? What are the things that you seek after? What are the things that you pray for more than anything else? I am almost certain that if you examine your prayer life, it will consist of some kind of material blessings. And I'm not condemning anybody because we're all in the same boat. But I'm going to tell you that if you ask God, what is the thing that he treasures the most? What is the thing that he thinks about the most? And you and I are going to be at the top of that list. God does not need us in an absolute sense. But God wants us around. God likes us. He loves us with an everlasting love. God delights in us. He delights in you and me. You and I are his joy. What are the things that God treasures the most? You and I are at the top of that list. What are the things that you treasure the most? Let us pray and ask God to get our hearts right, to get our affections right. And let us seek first the kingdom of God. Let us put God in the place that he really is. We sing all these songs about putting Christ back into Christmas. But do we really do that in our heart? Is putting Christ back into Christmas just changing an X to a Christ? I invite you to make him truly Lord of your life. To make him your joy, your number one priority, your number one desire. And I pray that thought, that heart will be in you as you celebrate Christmas this year. Make him your number one priority. Make him truly your Lord and your Savior. God bless you.
Join us again for our next program. Find us online at BibleIssues.org. Join us also on our Facebook group. To be able to access the group, go to BibleIssues.org where you will find the link. If you missed any of our broadcasts, you can catch up online at BibleIssues.org. Look for the audio sermons link. God bless you and hope you join us next time. Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.